Joe is going to bring today's reading from God's Word, which comes from Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, verses 13 to 35.
Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. And they came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it, just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus." He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all of the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he was going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up, returned at once to Jerusalem, and there they found the 11 and those with them assembled together, and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread.
Hello from New Baptist Church. It's really good to be with you today, albeit virtually. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Mandy. I live not too far away in Staines with my husband Matt and our two children, Rachel and Joel. And we had the privilege of attending the same local church as Glyn and Elaine when they lived in Egham, and just before actually they came to you in Frimley. And Glyn has asked me if I would just share a little word with you today. So that's what I'm going to do. Now, I can't see your lovely faces this morning, unfortunately, but I have no doubt in my mind that when I say the following statement, that this year has been incredibly difficult and challenging, you are all going to be nodding along with me, because it has, hasn't it, for all the reasons that we know, because we've lived through them together. Now, in this country, it feels thankfully like we're beginning to see a light at the end of a very long tunnel, and that's thanks really to the vaccinations that have taken place, and we've seen some restrictions lifted. You know, who thought it would be so wonderful to go and have a cup of tea in somebody's garden? But it really is. And I think there's probably been a few things that have helped us, naturally speaking, along the way to get through this this period. Probably the odd box set or two. Maybe food. I know, remember those initial lockdown days when those three questions kind of provided some structure to our day. What should we have for breakfast, then lunch, then dinner? Maybe you were really structured and threw in an 11z and an afternoon tea. But the other thing that I think really helped many people was that daily exercise allowance, and in particular walking. You know, when I would go out, I see many people walking, and for so many it was just a little bit of an escape from the four walls, and also provided just a little bit of companionship, you know, if you found somebody to walk with. And for those people who've been shielding, you know, my heart really goes out to you, because it must have been incredibly difficult. But it's this idea of walking that I just want us to think about today. And of course, this isn't just a physical fitness talk. It's so what I want to talk about is walking with Jesus. And we've already heard the story that I want us to think about today. It's been read to us beautifully, so I don't need to tell you the whole thing, but just to quickly recap on the main events, it's a story of two followers who are walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus. It's Resurrection Day. It's the day that Jesus has risen from the dead. And as they're walking in sadness, Jesus appears alongside them and walks with them. Only they don't know that it's Jesus. They're kept from recognizing him. Until that is, they get to Emmaus, and Jesus goes to go one way, and they say, "No, please come further, come back to our home." Jesus does. He breaks bread, and at that moment they realize that the person they've been walking with is Jesus. Jesus then disappears. He vanishes from their sight. They get up and they run all the way back to Jerusalem to tell the other disciples the good news. And I just want to pick out three little encouragements that we can take from this story. What they experience, we can apply to our lives. Now, I know that it's a little bit different, because in the story, the two followers had this amazing experience of walking with the physical Jesus. They lived in that time, and it is different for us now. But I just want to say to us that actually, maybe we live in even more blessed times right now. And I'm not making that up, because Jesus said, didn't he, to his followers, "It's a good thing that I'm going back to heaven, because when I do, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit." And the reality of being a follower today is that because of the Holy Spirit, we can walk spiritually with Jesus daily through the Holy Spirit's indwelling and infilling. And so in some ways it's even better, because if we lived in the times when Jesus walked the earth, incredible as that may have been, if I'd have been walking with him, then you wouldn't have been able to, because he was fully human and fully God, only in one place at a time. But right now, each one of us can walk with Jesus spiritually through the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and that is quite amazing. So I just want to give us three little encouragements from this story, starting with Jesus walks with us in our sadness. You know, we don't know an awful lot about the two followers in the story. We know that one is called Cleopas, and the other thing that we know is that they are walking in sadness. It says in the NIV version that they are downcast. It says in the Amplified version that they look brokenhearted. In the NLT, it says that they have sadness written across their faces. And the reason they're walking in such sadness and disappointment and loss is because of the events of the last few days. They've seen Jesus, who they hoped would be the saviour of Israel. They've seen him arrested. They've seen him crucified, his body placed in a tomb. And now, to add to their confusion, they're hearing reports that his body has gone missing. So they're walking in sadness. And then we have this beautiful image of Jesus coming alongside them, drawing near and walking with them on that journey with sadness in their hearts. He just draws close. You know, I've already said that this year has been incredibly difficult and challenging, and I think you probably nodded along with me. And I would also say that this year has in many ways been defined really by loss and by sadness. I mean, who would have thought that we would be judging the situation by looking at a daily death count or hospital admissions? And there's been other losses along the way as well, hasn't there? There has been the loss of financial security for so many, as businesses and the hospitality industry have all had to close. We've had a loss of peace of mind, as so many people have struggled with anxiety and mental health issues. We've had the loss of company as people have been left isolated in their homes. And we've also had what I call a loss of precious time. You know, my dad was really poorly before Christmas, and he was in hospital for 3 weeks. And because of COVID, that meant, not that he had COVID, but because of COVID, it meant that nobody could visit him during that time when it felt like he needed us the most. And it just felt like a loss of precious time. And maybe you can relate to that, you know, not being able to see children or grandchildren or parents or grandparents or other loved ones. But I just want to encourage us and say, just like Jesus did for those two followers on the road to Emmaus. Jesus wants to walk with us. He wants to draw close, draw near to us in our sadness. He wants to be an ever-present help to us in our time of trouble. But more than that, you know, Jesus walked with those two followers on the road to Emmaus, but he didn't leave them in an overwhelming sense of sadness and hopelessness. What I love about this story is as he walked with them, as he journeyed with them, he began to build hope in their hearts. And he did that very simply through reminding them of who he is. He spoke about the prophecies and the promises in scripture. Now, they didn't know that Jesus was talking about himself, but he was. And in the same way, Jesus just wants to allow hope to arise in our hearts again by just reminding us of who he is, the truth of who he is. And we find all those beautiful promises of who he is in his word, in the Bible. We only have to look at the book of John to read all those wonderful I am statements when Jesus said, you know, I am the good shepherd. And in other words, it means that he cares for our needs. He cares about providing for us. He cares about our protection. He said, I am the light of the world, meaning that no matter how dark the world gets or our individual worlds, he wants to be a constant source of light to us, dispelling the darkness and the fear. He says, I am the way, the truth and the life, meaning that, you know, whatever happens in our physical worlds, we know that we have been given the gift of salvation. We know that through believing in Jesus, there is a way to heaven. And so many promises of who he is that will just, as we read them, they will just reignite hope in our hearts, just as he did for those two guys on the road to Emmaus, you know, to the point where when it got to Emmaus, they said, you know, please don't go now, come back. We want to hear more. We want to know more, because hope had been rekindled. And the same thing, and Jesus wants to do the same thing in our hearts, just through revealing who he is. And we get that through reading his word. Maybe read John, maybe have a look at some of those statements and allow hope to build in your heart once again, because hope anchors our souls. You know, Jesus doesn't want to be a silent companion on our walk with him. He doesn't want to walk two steps ahead or two steps behind, just observing what we get up to. Just like in the story of the two followers on the road to Emmaus, Jesus wants to walk with us. He wants to converse with us. He wants to build relationship with us, and he wants to speak to us. You know, it says in John, or Jesus says in John, I no longer call you servants, I call you my friends. And just as he said to those disciples, so it is with us. He wants to be a companion to us as we walk with him. And as such, he has things that he wants to say to us. Now, sometimes what he wants to say to us is about building our character. It's about that wonderful transformation process where we become more like him. At other times, he wants to speak to us because he has things he wants us to do. He has a job that he wants us to do. It could be in regards to building his kingdom, to strengthening the church, encouraging another believer, or by bringing someone who is lost to him. But he wants to do that, and he wants to speak to us as individuals. Now, what I really love about this little story is that I recognize the physical reaction that these two followers had to hearing Jesus speak to them. I recognize that feeling, because in the same way Jesus speaks to me through the Holy Spirit, and I have that same physical reaction. Now, you might be thinking, Mandy, what are you talking about? Well, I just want to take you to the end of the story where Jesus is in the home with the two followers. He breaks bread, he disappears, and then they're discussing what has just happened. And one of the things they say is that, didn't our hearts burn within us as he spoke to us? Or didn't our hearts beat quickly within us as he spoke? And I don't know about you, but I recognize that feeling as the feeling I get when Jesus speaks to me through the Holy Spirit. And it confirms to me that Jesus has spoken to me And it also tells me that I will know again when he speaks to me, because I will feel that same feeling in my heart. And I just want to give you a little example of a time when this happened to me many years ago. And it was when I was at university. I was living at home and I was in between years, so I had some precious time. And I think that's the key, isn't it? If we want Jesus to speak to us, we've got to allow him opportunities. And I know that that is a challenge sometimes in the busy lives that we lead. But at this particular time, I had a lot of time on my hands and I was reading through the Old Testament. And I read the verse that says, "I am the Lord that healeth thee." And I just felt that burning in my heart. And I felt the Holy Spirit just whispered to me, "You need to tell this to Sandra." Now, Sandra's my cousin. And at the time, she'd been very ill with ME. And so much so that she didn't leave the house very often. She really had to conserve her energy. And I remember saying, you know, "Well, that's really good, Lord, but that's quite a big statement for me to say to Sandra at this time. And anyway, I don't see her very often. So if you do want me to say it, then you're going to have to help me out here." And so God was listening to me, because a couple of weeks later, there was a knock at my door during the day again. And at the doorstep was Sandra and her mum. And they just were having a little outing just to break up the day. And I remember my heart started beating again, and I was reminded of the verse, "I am the Lord that healeth me." But I remember thinking, well, Lord, saying to God, you know, well, our mums are both here at the moment, so it might not be the right time. So I just waited it out. Well, the strangest thing happened just a few minutes later, because they were all talking. And then suddenly mum jumped up and said, "Oh my goodness, it's 3 o'clock. I need to go and pick up Josh, who is my younger brother." And she said, "I've got to go." And then at that point, my auntie jumped up and said, "Well, look, I'll drive you and you can just hop out and it'll be quicker." And then suddenly I found myself in my living room with Sandra on our own. And I felt the prompting of the Holy Spirit and the voice whisper and say, "Well, is this a good time?" And so I sat next to Sandra and just said to Sandra, "You know, I know this might sound strange, but I really feel that the verse, 'I am the Lord that healeth thee,' is for you." And I remember we prayed at the time. There was no big miracle in that moment, but lots of good came out of that little act of obedience. We became prayer partners for many years, and which saw both of us through many difficult times. Also, I'm sure Sandra will testify to the fact that God has been her healer over these years. And if we're talking about walking during lockdown, well, she is one of my friends who's walked the most, not just for her own enjoyment, but also as a way to connect and encourage others. And I just want to say to us that, do you know what? Jesus wants to speak to us. He has things he wants to say. We just need to allow him the opportunity. You know, sometimes it's through listening to a sermon, a word, either at church, or we can't get to church at the moment, but maybe online. Sometimes it's through listening to a worship song or somebody else's prayer. Most of the time for me, it is just reading his word, and just those words kind of jump out. Something will come out of it and it will make my heart beat. Or sometimes just sitting quietly and reflecting in prayer, and God, the Holy Spirit, he'll just whisper and we'll feel that beating in our hearts, and then we know that Jesus is speaking to us. So the final encouragement I want to bring to you from this little story is that Jesus wants us to respond. Now, the followers on the road to Emmaus, they responded to Jesus at several points throughout this story. And the first point was probably the most important, which was when Jesus came alongside them and started talking to them, you know, saying, "What are you talking about? Why are you so sad?" And they could have said, you know, "Well, actually, we're having a private conversation here," but they didn't. They welcomed Jesus into their conversation, and they welcomed him to walk with them. And in the same way, that is the most important response we can ever have to Jesus, that very first one where we welcome him into our hearts and into our lives, and we accept his invitation and we begin to walk with him. You know, Jesus has already done all the hard work, hasn't he? He's died on the cross to forgive our sins. He has risen from the dead to show that, you know, death can no longer defeat us. He has found a way for us, just through believing in him, to inherit eternal life. All that is there in the offering. All we have to do is accept his gift of grace and to believe in him and just welcome him into our lives. And if you haven't responded to that invitation from Jesus yet, then I just encourage you that it is the best decision, the best response that you can ever make, because nothing compares to walking through life with Jesus, knowing his love, knowing the joy and the peace that he brings, knowing the purpose that he gives us, knowing that we have a hope of heaven in our future. So if you haven't made that decision yet, then I encourage you, don't waste any more time. But that isn't the only response that those two followers made. A little bit later, it says they get to Emmaus, and Jesus does this little move where he says, right, well, I'm going to go now. And he waits to see what their response is. And they could have said, well, it's been lovely to meet you, but they didn't. Passion and hope was stirring in their hearts. They knew that something important was taking place, and they begged Jesus, no, please come back so we can hear more. And I believe that Jesus also loves that response from us. You know, as we get closer to him, as we listen more carefully, you know, as we say, Lord, I want to know more, I want to be more like you, you know, that response, that passion in our hearts that is stirred by the fire of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, you know, that response pleases God. And the third and final response that I just want to mention is right at the end of the story. You see, Jesus goes back to the home of the two followers. He breaks bread. They realize that all that time they have been walking with the risen Savior, and Jesus disappears. Now, they could have just said, well, that was an incredible experience for us, wasn't it? And thought, we've had a long journey, you know, let's go to bed or whatever. But they didn't. Instead, their response was to jump straight up, because they knew that that good news that Jesus is alive needed to be shared. They ran all the way back down the road that they'd already traveled back to Jerusalem. They found the other disciples and they told them, Jesus is alive. And then Jesus actually appears to all the disciples and the followers in the same room. You know, in the same way, our walk with Jesus is meant to be visible. It's meant to be seen by others, because we have good news that we are walking with the risen Saviour. And particularly at this time, when times are dark and difficult and challenging, people need to see the difference it makes walking with Jesus. You know, they need to know the good news. And, you know, Jesus wants us to respond by sharing that with others. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes it feels like I don't know who I'm meant to share with, or sometimes I feel like I'm looking for opportunities, or I'm being a little bit unfruitful. Well, I listened to an interview by a lady called Jackie Pullinger a month or so ago. She's an incredible missionary who works in Hong Kong with the drug addicts there. And she has seen some amazing miracles and some amazing acts of God out there. But she was talking about a time in her life where it felt like she wasn't being fruitful when she tried to share the good news, the gospel, with others. And she said that she changed her prayer. And I just want to share this with you before I close, because I think it's really helped me think about how I pray. And she said what she started praying was, Dear Lord, she said, lead me to the people who are ready to hear the good news, or lead those people to me whose hearts you have prepared already to hear the good news. And what she was acknowledging was that there are people in our lives who are not yet ready. You know, the soil is not yet right for the seed to be planted, but there are others who are ready to hear the good news, and God has already been preparing their hearts. And so I just wanted to encourage you with that, because maybe it's a prayer that you might like to pray. It's certainly a prayer that I've started to pray, that God will lead me, or lead those people to me who are ready. And then there will be opportunities to share the good news with them. And so I hope you have been a little bit encouraged today by what I've shared about this story of the two followers on the road to Emmaus. You know, Jesus wants to walk with us in our sadness, but more than that, he wants to reinstate hope in our hearts so that we are fully anchored no matter what storms of life come our way. He also wants us to listen to his voice, because he wants to speak to us. He's got things that he wants us to do. And finally, he wants us to respond to him and to the good news that he is alive by sharing it with others. And you know, very soon, hopefully, the doors of our churches are going to be open wide again, and we are going to encounter many people who have also walked in sadness and loss for this last year, and they are going to really want to hear some good news. And so I believe that it's exciting times ahead for us as a church and what we can do in our communities. So we just need to be ready to listen to Jesus' voice, to feel that burning in our hearts, and just respond when we are asked to. I hope you have a really good rest of the day and an encouraging and blessed week ahead.